Cloudy skies, a flurry or two. Today's buzzword, slush. Right now, 25 degrees.
Oh, is it my turn?
It could be.
I'm in a puddle right here. That's...
I know. You were, you know.
I stopped up at WEOL, right. And then I walked across Ely Square. Got firsthand look at the lights that are starting to be put up. They're getting ready to get things all set. The fountain's turned off, and they have like a Christmas tree kind of wiring put up there. I also wanted to see how the professionals do it because, you know, I haven't put up the rest of my decorations yet or even started, sorry. And the weather's supposed to warm up a little bit, so I have opportunities.
Right.
But I always like to see how, you know, how does the city, the people that they have some kind of a more professional way of putting things together. So I'm just kind of getting...
They have little secret vehicles that help them get up to where they need to be. And they've got these, like, prong sticks or something you can use.
Right. That's part of it. Also, you know, what kind of, they got to make sure the lights last. And they, you know, what kind of clips they put, how do they get it all hanged together. Because when that wind comes blowing down to Broad Street, you don't want to have your lights fly away. That's the worst thing to do.
So you picked up a little snow on your boots. You're here now in the lobby of the Chronicle-Telegram as we help them with their Not Forgotten Box campaign.
Right.
And you've got sort of like you're in a puddle there.
Well, you know, Craig, if you take your hat you bought, put it on top of my puddle, we got a little makings of Frosty the Snowman right before the winter wind gives it a big kiss.
I've got my hat on the penguin, the 4-foot-high penguin in the lobby here.
Yes.
I think that's a great look.
There's also a 2-foot-high penguin behind you, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You want to see what that looks like? Go to our Facebook page.
Right.
Also, Susie Peters has video up there from the Madrigals who are here, who kicked off our show this
morning.
Oh,
they were wonderful this morning, singing some Christmas carols right after the 7 o'clock news. Sorry I missed them, because by the time I worked my way over here, they were already gone.
Yeah. Well, it's a mile or two walk for you, right?
It's about a half a mile. It's about a half a mile. It's a straight.
Oh, come on now.
As the crow flies?
It was 3 or 4 miles, and you went through 3 feet of snow to get here, didn't you? Hey, listen, before we go any further, I do want to thank some people. Because sometimes the show, we run out of time. We have too much time. We run out of that time, and we don't get it in. So I want to say thank you
to
Barb Ritzko-Stevens from the Chronicle-Telegram for helping line up our guests today. Also, Amy Higgins, who made it possible for us to have the Madrigals here from the Elyria City Schools. Susie Peters, our on-site coordinator. Terry Zevnik, our engineer, who set everything up for us. And Alan Calcaterra back at the studio keeping us on the air.
Right.
And a very special thanks to all of our guests who came in this morning. We appreciate it.
Putting all this together in a short amount of time.
That's right. That's what we're all about.
And at this time yesterday, Alan had no idea he was going to be sitting at the studio this morning. But he's a good sport. He's going to be there tonight, too. He's doing a double shift. He's going to go home and sleep. And he's going to wake up and he's going to get confused. Is it 7 in the morning or 7 at night? Because he's coming back tonight to help bring us the high school playoff football game between Midview and Nordonia. Also helping with that, Tim Elkhorn, who will be in the press box over at Brunswick.
I'll be there.
And who's sharing the load with you this?
It's the typical three. Myself, Bob Tomaszewski, Gary Pelter down on the sidelines. Gary will have about 10, 11 layers on, just like he did last Friday.
Lime green? Lime green, is that the color he's wearing? Lime green?
He has this bright, fluorescent, it's like a yellowish green coat that he wears over everything else. And then it's got a big WEOL logo on the back of it.
Do people down there think he has some authority? I mean, you know, like... Is he the mile? Is he like the first down marker, or is he the ball marker?
It's always interesting just to watch Gary foul the ball as it goes down the field. He just works his way back and forth wherever the ball is.
So we need to get coats like that.
Well,
when we go out on remote, we can
always
wear those coats.
To join on something else that's happening.
I know, it's good.
We need toys, Craig. Come on.
We do. I want that penguin. I love that penguin.
There was a little golf set, too, a little plastic kind of golf set, too. So all kind of neat toys you can get. By the way, they're looking for toys here for the Not Forgotten Box. We were in the lobby of the Chronicle-Telegram. Ages
up to 13.
Well, yeah, right? Infants through 13. And there's usually they need toys like for infants and then for the teens. Those on the youngest ones and the oldest ones.
Yeah.
You're always kind of in need of that. So when you're looking for to buy the toys, kind of get the around a group of different ones that infants can have as well as teenagers.
Yeah, and the good news here is too, when you drop off those toys, you can bring them in. As early as 8 o'clock in the morning during the week, you're on your way to work, drop them off.
Right here at the Chronicle-Telegram in Elyria.
Tim, what's going
to
happen tonight?
Back to football now.
I know. Let's talk a little bit about football.
We're tossing the ball around. And just...
Any footballs here in the bin?
Well, sporting equipment. So there was golf. We had the golf.
Now, these are two great teams. I've been hearing about Nordonia since day one. Midview, too. What do you think?
Well, it's going to be a phenomenal football game. As you said, these are two great teams. Somebody's going to walk off that field tonight with their first defeat of the season. They are two 12-0 football teams, number one and number two in this region. It's going to be a phenomenal contest. Nordonia has three Division I players on their team, one that's committed to Ohio State, one that's committed to Michigan State, and one that's committed to Toledo. So they've got some talent. They've got a high-flying offense. They score all sorts of points. Pretty stingy defense, although Perrysburg lit them up last week. So I think Midview can score some points tonight. It's just a matter of can they slow this Nordonia offense down. They are really, really good on the offensive side of the ball.
Do you think the weather will play any kind of factor? Because it could be a little slippery.
You're asking a guy who walked out onto a field a week ago tonight, and I thought I literally was up in Alaska or in Antarctica somewhere. I mean, it was brutal. And yet those two teams combined for 78 points. I mean, the wind was blowing. The snow was flying. The field was like a skating rink. There was these massive chunks of ice all over the field. And yet those kids performed at such an unbelievably high level. So you're asking me, do I think the weather will be a factor tonight? I don't know. I mean, a week ago at this time, I would have said, oh, yeah, it's absolutely going to be a factor. After witnessing what I saw last Friday night, I don't know. These kids seem to find a way to just play right through it.
And even the fans can get through the weather.
Hey, we mentioned it last week during our postgame show. For as much credit as we gave the kids for battling through those conditions last week, what those fans were put through last Friday night, I mean, it was just a horrendous job at North Royalton to get that field ready. And they didn't do anything with the stands. I mean, people were literally coming in just wiping all the snow off the seats and sitting, you know, above ankle deep in snow. What those people went through to watch a high school football game last Friday night was just incredible.
Right, they were blue, but not because they were sporting the school colors, right?
Right. But yet, man, were they loud and they were roaring on both sides, the Avon and the Midview side. Those fans were to be complimented because they really came out. You talk about showing true support for your team. To sit in those type of conditions as they did last week was just off the charts.
Now, I know you're a Buffalo Bills fan, and that Buffalo Jets game, that Buffalo Jets game is going to be played in Detroit. Now, I ran this idea by Bruce yesterday. I want to see what you think about this. I suggested they actually play the game in Buffalo and not remove any of the snow from the field. So if it was 4, 5, 6 feet high, that's what they'd have to play in. That would be a football game.
Well, I'm not sure how you would pull that off.
That's what you do when you're 10 years old and you go out in the snow and you try to create your own games.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how many people from Detroit are going to stop by Ford Field on Monday night. How many people are they going to play that game in front of? Well, I mean, people from Buffalo obviously have more important things on their mind than, you know, making a 6-7 hour drive over to Detroit. The Jets fans certainly aren't going to go to Detroit. Who's going to be in Detroit to watch?
Answers that question: if they hold a football game and no one shows up, did it really happen? I mean, that's what they'll.
Well, do you remember several years ago? Boy, we're really going off track here. But when the Indians had that brutally, brutally cold early stretch of April, and they went out to Milwaukee, they actually played games in Milwaukee, believe it was. You know, but the casual baseball fan went and showed up and watched the game. But who's going to be involved?
It gives something for the Elias Sports Bureau to put in their little notes or something. Game played at some other, you know, location. Why? And then, you know, if people want to go, they got to play the game. They
can't
Nobody wants to forfeit it or anything like that.
Well, no, you're not going to have a forfeit. I mean, the Bills aren't going to forfeit the game. Sure. I mean, they did nothing wrong.
Yeah, they forfeit the season every once in a while, but
all right, shut up, Bruce.
Now, let's get back to Midview and Nordonia.
Here we come. We're coming back around.
That's what we do on the morning show.
I just got sacked. So
I know. You stay out of this. So what happens then to the winner?
Well, the winner goes to the state semifinal next Friday night, Thanksgiving weekend, to play the winner of Bedford and Mayfield. Bedford and Mayfield, another regional championship game tonight. So the winner will get either Bedford or Mayfield next Friday night. Let's hope it's Midview. There's no neutrality tonight as far as my call is concerned. We're rooting for Midview. Told you guys when I got here, I got my Midview blue on today. Let's hope they can do this. I mean, what a great story for Lorain County, for Midview High School. It's a tremendous accomplishment to get to this point, but I think they got a real good shot tonight. I'm not necessarily guaranteeing a win, but I think they got a real good opportunity to beat this Nordonia.
Will there be any lights on in Midview tonight, or will everybody be...
will the entire 440-44 zip code be out in Brunswick tonight? It's a short ride for the Midview fans. I mean, right down 303 into Brunswick, so... If they get as many as they got last Friday night, that side will be absolutely mobbed. It'll be just phenomenal.
And I know from your call last week, boy, was it loud.
Oh, it was so loud. I mean, you know, I listened to the playback last night. That always makes me cringe a little bit. But, no, the roar that came out of that crowd, you know, just like you guys are right now, I'm wearing headsets when I'm doing the game, so it muffles it somewhat. So to hear it last night was just incredible. I mean, it just blew right through the speaker.
Well, as an Avon fan last listening the other night, you could tell because the crowd on that side was a...
Yes, but, you know, as I was listening last night, I mean, the roar of the Avon crowd when they were doing something came right across the field. I mean, not quite as loud as the Midview side because we were on the Midview side, but you knew when good things were happening for the Eagles as well.
Now, Nordonia, they're a perennial. Somewhere.
Pretty much, yes. So they had a couple of years where they slid somewhat. But, yeah, I think this is their fourth, I don't have my notes with me, fourth or fifth straight year in the playoffs, very successful program. Nordonia and Midview have actually met in the playoffs before. I believe it was, I'm going to try to guess the year, and I don't know. But it was the early 2000s, I believe. But the interesting thing is Nordonia's athletic director, Rob Eckenrode, for years was the athletic director at Midview. So he has a connection to Midview and Nordonia. It'll be good to see Rob tonight, one of the great guys in high school sports, but I hope we put a whooping on him tonight.
Good night to the Knights is what we want, right?
That's right. That's right. We're rooting for the Middies.
The Midview Middies tonight. Again, it's underway at 7 o'clock tonight, kickoff at 7:30. You can hear WEOL AM 930, also at WEOL.com. So all those folks, who Midview grads, alums, who are looking to see how their old school is doing, this is an opportunity for them to tune in for that.
Let's hope for all Midview fans that tonight's game is one not to be forgotten. How's that?
Very good. Right off the sign. Since 1958, the Not Forgotten Box here, the Chronicle Telegraph, where we're broadcasting from the lobby of the Chronicle. I'm Bruce Van Dyke, Craig Adams, Tim Alcorn joining us this morning talking about tonight's big high school game. And again, of course, that means there would be two more, right? They were looking at semi next week and then the state tournament the first weekend in in December.
Yep, state semi would be a week from tonight, and if they get to the state championship game Friday night, December 5th, I believe.
Now, I was hearing and they're playing this in Columbus. Is that something new this year?
Ohio State Stadium.
Okay.
Yep, down at the Shoe. So the start times have been adjusted a little bit because, of course, when they were in Massillon and Canton, they would rotate the stadium, so there wasn't quite as much time in between games as there will be this year because – obviously, they've got to clear one stadium out and then get it.
What took them so long to get it right to the midpoint, big into the Ohio?
Well, back in the 80s, the state championship games were played in Columbus. I know when Elyria Catholic won back-to-back state championships, I believe both of those games were won down in Columbus at the Shoe. So it was in Massillon and Canton 20, 30 years now. I don't have that right off the top of my head, but they did used to play at Ohio Stadium.
What about the feeling of that, though? Because if you're in a stadium like you will be tonight, it's going to be loud. Everybody is packed right there. It is brimming. But if you take a high school game and put it in Ohio Stadium, maybe you have, 25,000, 30,000 fans in a 100,000-seat stadium, and they're kind of far from the field.
You've raised a great, great point, and the OHSAA has received a lot of feedback on this, and there's been a lot of debate about it because, as you say, you know, you put 15, 20,000 people in a 100,000-seat stadium, all of a sudden it just doesn't create that energy, that electricity that, you know, a Massillon or a Canton will have where the place is literally full. The OHSAA's response to that has been, listen, the high school basketball state championships are played where the Buckeyes play, right at Schottenstein Center. The high school baseball championships are played on the campus of Ohio State University. Why should you deny, and the track and field championships are played or conducted, why should you deny the football players the opportunity to play in that type of venue just because it seats 100,000 people? So that's their side of it. And I think both sides have a point.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that too. Well, as a football, high school football player, I would have loved to play at Ohio Stadium.
And don't think Urban Meyer doesn't love the fact that these great high school football players that are reaching the state finals are all of a sudden walking around the shoe. Oh, look at this place.
I got to check right. Go over my office here. Look around. I left something up there. My
and it doesn't even count as a recruiting visit.
Wow. All right, then.
Well, that's a couple of weeks away. We hope Midview makes that journey, but they have to get through Nordonia tonight. Again, it gets underway at 7 o'clock, pregame kickoff at 7:30. Tim, thanks for coming in this morning.
It's going to be a fun night tonight. Go Midview.
Yeah. Get more than just that fleece that you got on there. You're going to have a lot more tonight when it's going to be out there. Of course, it'll be a lot of fun to tune in tonight and hear all the excitement here at WE.